Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
Today we're talking about a car accident.
This time.
Guys, I was sitting in my living room last week, and my wife was in the kitchen. We were having a conversation, and our windows face this kind of community access road. It's not a big road, like a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit. And we heard something. I don't know if I heard tires screech or if I heard a crash, but I look out the window, and I saw it was like a Subaru toppling down the street vertically. So kind of heel to head, toe to head. I don't know how to describe that. Like cartwheels, not somersault, cartwheels. I'd never seen that before outside of a movie. And I yelled at my wife to call 911, and I immediately ran outside down my patio steps across my backyard, jumped the fence. I mean, we're talking like less than 100 yards, maybe 100 yards max. And I was the first on the scene. And the car was just mangled. The guy was in the driver's seat, seatbelt on, but slumped, kind of the seatbelt was holding him up. And as I got there, and I was like, hey, buddy, no movement. I thought immediately he was already dead, but I saw that he was breathing. And so I unhooked the seatbelt and kind of put my arms under his armpits and slowly, carefully pulled him out of the car. I didn't know what was going to happen to the car, you know, if it was going to catch fire. I just needed to get him away from the car. So I pulled him out maybe 10 yards and slowly laid him down. And he was breathing really intensely, but unconscious, not aware of anything. No major wounds, no blood. I was trying to check his body for any kind of major wounds. Check the pulse. Pulse is good. He's breathing. And there was nothing I could do. At that point, there was nothing I knew I could do. And so I just started praying for him. I just started praying for him. Lord, I beg of you that if he needs to live to come to know you, that you keep him alive. And if he's not going to live this, Lord, I beg that you just have mercy on him. That was just my prayer over and over, those two things. Eventually, a neighbor showed up and held his head in a certain position that maybe helped increase airflow. And then the paramedic showed up pretty quickly, within maybe 5 minutes. They got him on a stretcher, and you know, as he was being loaded in, he started moving around, but was starting to cough up and puke up blood. And at that point, I think we all knew there were some pretty serious internal injuries. Again, not much we could even do at that point. But they got him into the ambulance and took him away. And I named him Wayne. I didn't know his name, and I just named him Wayne. I started praying for Wayne. And I still don't know right now, today as we're recording, whether or not he survived. But what rocked me was how quickly, in an instant, he may have lost his life. He had a car seat in the back, no child, but someone could have lost their dad that day. And it just shook me to the core. Still, you know, I'm still shooken up by it, trying to process through it. How quickly life can change. It could have been road rage. I don't know why they were going so fast. There was another car involved. But he didn't have any idea that was going to happen that day as he was coming down the road. He had no idea. Whether it was road rage or whether they were just screwing around, his life ended or changed in seconds. And here we are about halfway through Lent. And Lent is this reminder that from dust we come and to dust we shall return. It's a reminder that we will all die. Some of us tragically, instantly. Some of us will live a long life, but we will all die. And that has been kind of a turning point of my Lent so far, is this fragility of life and the reality that we die, and this internal dialogue, meditation that I'm now inspired to have that says, what am I living for? What am I living for now to prepare myself for that moment of death?
Unbelievable. I've approached a car accident once with fellow missionaries when I was out in Nebraska, and they were trying to turn around on a two-lane road and got T-boned, I think is what you call it, right? They didn't see the truck behind them. It came and nailed them. And one of them was pretty injured. They took two of them with a helicopter to the closest hospital in the main city. It's an intense experience to come upon that. I don't know, Steve, if you had any, not that this necessarily matters, but if you had it that next night or that night, just any particular like PTSD dreams or thoughts, like it's a, when you experience something like that intense, it's amazing how it rocks you.
Yeah. You know, I haven't had any dreams. The images are still crystal clear in my head. One thing that did happen, we were laying in bed the other night and I heard a car just going fast on the road. My body tensed.
Yeah. Probably part of that. Yeah. It's interesting because St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, Steve, I think this relates to your reflection there. In verse 32 and following, he says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the affairs of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly affairs, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And I always find that passage very interesting because we're married men. And so there's a certain sense of stuff of the world does distract us. It is something that we, you know, I think what St. Paul is saying, the Lord expects us to be divided because we're dealing in the temporal in a different way than maybe an unmarried or a religious or a consecrated person. But to what degree do we let that completely distract us or consume us? I think that's up to us. And I think that's a spectacular thing to talk about, you know, during Lent, but also just even beyond that. But right now, since we're in the middle of Lent, death is before us always. We never know when it's coming. And how are we spending our time? How are we letting things of the world distract us? Because it can be a negative, obviously, to your point, Steve. There's good, obviously, it distracts us if we're trying to build the kingdom in some way. But is it ordered properly? I know it's, when thinking about death, it's maybe random, then I'll shut up and let you take a break. But the scariest thing for me is not dying, but dying in, and God is good. God is always good. So it's always for his greater good. But the suffering my children will endure knowing their father's gone. At a young age, it's hard for me to think about that. Even just, my wife and I just went on a little trip last week, just a few days, came home and my 9-year-old son had left us a little card just saying, welcome home. I'm so glad. I hope you had fun, but I missed you and I'm glad you're home. And you're just like, that's, and I know he's maybe more anxious when we leave because he likes having dad around. I think he just feels safe, which is good. It's appropriate. But yeah, what a great, intense, hard reflection to think about.
No, and I think it is such a good reflection. It reminds me of you know, the monks from the old days who would constantly tell each other memento mori, remember your death. And death does have a funny way of kind of putting everything in our life in context. And Steve, as you were, you know, sharing this before we hit record, I know that moment where you noticed the car seat in the back and just that comment of some little boy or girl may have lost their dad today. And the heart-wrenching reality, Thomas, as you were just sharing, like more than likely our kids are going to have to deal with that at some point. And I do think that it's such a good reminder that we are dust, and to dust we are going to return. Because I think we have such a natural tendency, particularly in the West, where we are so materialistic and focused on money and possessions and our careers, to lose sight of the eternal reward. And the fact that we are actually not made for this world, that we are meant, the first paragraph in the catechism tells us that God created us to spend an eternity sharing his blessed life with us. And that is ultimately going to happen in the next life in heaven. But because the world is so sticky and we are so susceptible to just being myopic and having the blinders on and only thinking about the things that are here and now and the things that we can sense, it is such a good reflection, particularly in Lent, to remember that we are dust, to remember our death. One of the devotions that Alicia and I try to do with our girls every year is the Stations of the Cross on Fridays. And we love, you know, being able to go to the parish and go through them. But one this year in particular has really been hard for me to pray. And it's the fifth station where Simon helps Jesus carry the cross. And you may have a different, you know, meditation that your church goes through or have a different translation online. But the one that we've been using during the meditation, you say, my beloved Jesus, I will not refuse the cross as Simon did. I accept it and I embrace it. I accept in particular the death that is destined for me with all of the pains that may accompany it. I unite it to your death and I offer it to you. And it goes on, you know, a little bit farther, but that concept of I accept and I embrace the cross, and I accept in particular the death that is destined for me with all the pains that may accompany it, has just been a really hard prayer to pray honestly. You know, I say the words, but every time, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks as we've been there, the words come out of my mouth and internally I sense this like, yeah, I'm saying that. I'm not sure I totally mean what I'm saying. And because, you know, we modern medicine is great. And especially you think about palliative care, and there's so much in life that is like to eliminate pain, to eliminate suffering, to make you as comfortable as possible. And it just reminds me that there was a great quote from John Paul II, who with tears in his eyes said that suffering is the currency for souls. And that's just a reality that I think we as Western men have kind of lost that remembrance. And so, Steve, as you share this story of being faced with death, you know, really up in your face, and we don't, like you said, you don't know if this guy lived or not, but he very well may have died. Just that reality that we're going to die. And are we in a place to accept that from the Lord, like our death and all of the pains that may accompany that? I don't know. It's a haunting reflection. And I stand here, very cognizant of my littleness and my, yeah, as you mentioned, Steve, the fragility of my life.
I'm going through the Hallow 40-day challenge. And, you know, if any guys are listening right now and they're thinking, gosh, my Lent's been kind of lame, I haven't really kept my mind on spiritual aspects, you can still plug into that. And you can go back and listen to everything. Some of them are 5 minutes. Mark Wahlberg's reflections are always 5 minutes, where Father Mike Schmidt's homilies are 25 minutes. So plan accordingly, but you could hammer through those, catch up and finish out this string of meditations. They're incredible. Two in particular come to my mind that have stuck with me. One of the first Father Mike reflections, he said, so often we add a little two-letter word when we talk about God's will or God's plan for my life. When we say, God, I will surrender to you if. God, I will do your will if. And it's not even if I get what I want, but it's if I know what's going to happen in 2 years or 5 years. I will do your will if, fill in the blank. There's so many different options that I think are probably coming to your minds. Guys, you're nodding your heads right now as I'm saying this. And as you're listening to this, you probably think, yeah, I do that too. And brothers, I do that too. I say, God, I'm going to be big. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be a great saint. And I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to pick up the cross if it's not too heavy, if I know how far I have to carry it in advance. I'll carry it. I just want to know how far. And we can't have that. We can't approach God's will for our lives with that too little dangerous word if. So that's the first thing. The second one is it's all about surrender, the 40-day challenge. And the prayer that they keep bringing up is, Jesus, I surrender everything to you. Take care of everything. And it's a beautiful prayer that I've been really praying with this Lent, that I surrender these things to you. I surrender so many of my hopes, my dreams, my ambitions, whatever it is. I surrender it to you because what you will for me is what will actually make me happy and holy. And we just have to be able to truly lay those things on the altar, lay those things at the foot of the cross and say, I surrender. And so those two prayers I invite you to, or those two aspects I invite you to reflect on. When are you saying if, and are you willing to genuinely surrender and let the Lord take care of everything?
Okay, the if thing. How dare you, Steve, call me out in public like that. But the again, these guys, I'm listening to The Gates of Fire. It's a story about the Spartans and the Persians and their battle. It's a movie called 300 that popularizes one of the scenes of that. But there's and this is the story I was mentioning before, but there's at one point, one of the stud teenagers, he's 14, and this is they train their boys, and they're 12, 13, 14 intensely. And this is kid, he's like head above the rest. He's big. He's going to be a great warrior. And he does something wrong, and he's getting punished. And so when they punish him, they just flog them. Two Spartan warriors just flogging these 14-year-olds. And until they let go of the bar they hold on to, if you can kind of picture that. And this kid, as you can imagine, he just won't let go. Flesh is getting pulled off his back, exposing his like ribs and whatever the muscles, like whatever, but it's brutal. It gets to the point where one of the commanders is like, knock him out because he's not letting go. We don't want to kill him. But at that point, they hit him so hard, they're trying to knock him unconscious so he'll let go. But at that point, they knock him down. He falls down, not unconscious though, stumbles up, spitting up blood, and then keels over and actually does die. So this 14-year-old kid, I mean, gosh, I hate saying kid because that kind of weakens, shows how our culture is so weak, but they are kids nowadays in our culture. But a 14-year-old, whatever you want to call him, was so willing to just hold on and suffer. I don't know what his motivation was. Was it vanity? Was it honor? Was it a mix of both? I don't know. But he didn't have many ifs in that moment. Like, he just took it. And you know, we don't have to suffer, hopefully, in that extreme of a situation. But can I even just order my second favorite thing on a menu and not cry about it? You know, can I live up to what I said I was going to do during Lent and not be a sissy about it? Like, what's the deal? Because you think of all these small things, if we do them, if we do them faithfully, we can do some amazing, God will pour amazing graces out for our sake, for the sake of other souls. And it doesn't have to be overly dramatic. I mean, we will suffer, and it's part of what the Lord has invited us to. You guys have made that point. But man, can I try to do it well, knowing that so much good, so many graces will come from it from the Lord, because He is good and He is merciful. But that's a great, great call out, Steve, on this topic. You know, look at a 14-year-old Spartan, what he can endure. I think I could endure a little bit more than I am now.
No, I love that, Thomas. And it's such a good, it's just a good gut check. Because we are soft. That's just the reality. Like, so much of our lives have been filled with comfort. And I was just on a silent retreat 2 weekends ago out in Malvern, Pennsylvania, with Father Dan Leary, Father Larry Swink from the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Great silent retreat. I met a couple listeners of the Man Catholic Show. Kyle, if you're listening to this episode, it was great to talk to you a little bit on Sunday morning. But one of the meditations that plays directly into what we're talking about here was, we had a talk that specifically went into the 5 sorrowful mysteries. And talking about the first sorrowful mystery, Jesus's agony in the garden, we as men have a tendency to be really fearful of suffering that we could foresee coming in the future. And so a lot of times when we think about Lent, also when we just think about the virtue that the Lord is calling us to work on right now, whether it be, you know, the 7 deadly sins, working on your pride or your gluttony or your sloth or your envy or your lust or your wrath, like these elements of our lives that we think, gosh, I know I need to put work into this. We can be fearful of the suffering we know that's going to come when we actually put our mind to this. And they spent, the retreat master spent a lot of time talking about Jesus in the garden. And I think that Jesus in his humanity was able to experience all of that fear, was able to experience all of the fear that we feel when we see suffering coming our way because of the work that needs to be done, because of the ways that we need to die to ourselves. You know, obviously, ultimately, in our death, when we think about when we're going to die and all the pains that may accompany it, there's fear that comes with that. And to recognize that Jesus in his humanity experienced that fear so much so that he even sweat blood. And there's actually a medical, you know, medical term for this, where stress and anxiety are so palpable that it actually affects your adrenal glands. And I don't remember all the specifics, but this is actually a medical reality when you experience stress to the highest level. And I think the meditation was really like, hey, those elements that are causing you fear, where you see suffering coming your way, go to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And talk to him as he's in this moment of fear, in his humanity, knowing what is coming his way, knowing the suffering that is coming towards him, that he's going to have to endure in these coming hours and over the next day. And recognize that with Jesus's help, you can say the same words that he said, that you can ask the Father for a different chalice. You can ask the Father that the suffering be passed over. But it should culminate in us being able to say, Father, let your will be done, not mine, not my will, but yours. And I think that that's a really helpful, at least in my mind, just in the last 2 weeks, to be able to understand that, like, you can, it's not a bad thing to experience fear of suffering, but that's actually a moment that Jesus wants to meet you and you want to lean on his humanity there. I think that can be really helpful for us.
I love that in this time of Lent, we find ourselves in the garden before the Passion, sharing in his agony, but stress and anxiety, as you mentioned, Brock, and we're all going through something. That's the reality, is we are all going through something. And how can we unite that something to Christ and his Passion? And but more importantly, right now in Lent, in that agony, to just sit with him there, that we don't need to fix it. We don't need to find a solution, but we just need to find him in the garden and be with him and to say, Jesus, I surrender everything to you. Take care of everything. Guys, I hope and pray, and I know Brock and Thomas join me in praying for you all as you wrap up this Lent. We desire you to become holy, holy men, to be you saints and the saints that God created you to be. That's it for today. We'll catch you next time on the Man Catholic Podcast. God bless.